Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
What is Love Radio Show is sponsored by Fantasy App. Fantasy is a safe space to communicate about your fantasies and passions without fear of judgment. It is a dating app for open-minded couples and singles to experiment with your desires that don't have to be secret anymore.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of listening to the sound of my tears.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit terrified. Then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart.
Turn around, bright eyes.
Every now and then I fall apart. And I need you now tonight. And I need you more than ever. And if you only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever. And we'll only be made.
I can do a total eclipse of the heart. Once upon a time there was light in my life, but now there's only love in the dark. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart.
Hello, 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 hello. This is What is Love Show on Radio Free Brooklyn. Happy Friday, everyone. This is Sasha Sugar, and I'm totally in sync with Bonnie Tyler, whose heart needs more support than ever tonight. And she feels that she's in a total eclipse. And yep, not just Bonnie myself, but the entire U.S., and probably entire world is in a total eclipse tonight, which is coming tomorrow. Today's topic of What is Love Show is how to deal with all these eclipses and planetary retrogrades. And we'll talk more about the psychic and intuition reading. Today, as you guys can understand, is a special edition. Usually What is Love is live on Sundays, but because we are entering the last, finally, the last eclipse of this season, I decided to have a special edition, and I invited Virginia Mason Richardson, who you already probably know from my previous show, and Virginia will help us to navigate through this season and to, you know, just to kind of keep tight and to learn from this season and to have a better attunement with ourselves and to move forward. Another reason why I invited Virginia tonight is because our previous show that we had a month ago about astrology, surprisingly and magically, did not record. So this never happened before with What is Love Show. That was the first time. And I guess, I don't know, planetary retrogrades or whatever was going on in cosmos that day somehow magically affected the recording and it just didn't happen. So, yes, exactly. It's weird stuff is happening. So I'm really happy that Virginia was able to make it tonight, and she has this beautiful present in the studio. We both are feeling a bit weird and under eclipse, but I'm sure that we will figure this out and we will help y'all as well to get through this dark times and will help you to bring the light and to bring the love and to learn something valuable. Hello, Virginia.
Hi,
happy
how are you?
Friday.
Well, I guess
I don't know if that's a relevant question in the a few hours before the eclipse, but yeah, I'm keeping it tight. I'm trying at least. we briefly spoke with Virginia before the show, and we both were like, "Yo, what is happening? What is going on?" Because we both were feeling a bit off, a bit weird, in a different way, of course. But yeah, this thing, you know, these things are happening, and I'm really happy that we're doing this tonight because it just makes it even more real and more authentic.
Yeah, I think it's great that we had an issue with the last show and it didn't record. I don't know if it was because of Mercury retrograde or whatever, but I know that it happened and we're here. And if my life has taught me anything, these things rarely happen for no reason. So I'm curious to just have this conversation with you tonight, see what comes out and figure out why we're here again.
Absolutely. Radio for Brooklyn audience, if you guys have any question for Virginia, if you're working through a particular situation in your life, if you are feeling crazy, angry, vulnerable, compassionate, whatever emotion you're feeling tonight, give us a call at 718-928-9732. This is the only opportunity you will have, you know, to address your issues before the new moon comes tomorrow morning. I think it's about 6 a.m. So yeah, we're happy to hear your thoughts, your emotions, your stories. Tune in and call in.
Yeah, so we have a new moon's total solar eclipse that's happening at 5:58 a.m. And that'll be in Leo. And the moon's already in Leo, so we're already in it. That's why we're both feeling things happening in our bodies.
I don't really feel it. I don't want to go outside. I just want to be in my room and not to deal with anything. So what does it mean exactly, the new moon in Leo? For the, you know, skeptics out there, or for the newbies in astrology, what does it mean? Why is it in Leo? What is specific about Leo that we should be considerate about?
Well, I will say that this eclipse, the moon and the sun are both in Leo. They're in the same place in Leo, and that's what makes it a new moon. But the fact that it's in Leo is not the only thing that's important about it. There's a lot of other stuff going on with it that's interesting. So it's not just like, oh, it's Leo and Leo likes the spotlight and this is fun and we're going to feel super confident. No, that's not necessarily how that happens. Oh. And often with big planetary events, whether it's an eclipse or just a new moon or a full moon, I find that whenever there's something really acute, especially that's touching my personal chart specifically, I often just feel really tired. That's a general reaction just because there's a lot of energy that you're processing and that's moving through you. And so just it's about processing that. So
does it affect different astrological signs in a different way, or everyone kind of feels tired when those eclipses are happening?
It's going to affect every single person differently. And we all have different sensitivities too in terms of how sensitive we are to all the different movements that are happening everywhere all the time. But I will say that while there are individual differences for people, there are overarching themes with this eclipse that are true for everybody. So it's a Leo eclipse, and we've been working through eclipses in the sign of Leo for 2 years now. This is the second to last Leo eclipse of the Leo eclipse cycle. The next one's going to be in January, and that'll be the last one. And so we've been working a lot with Leo. Leo is about leadership. It's about owning your own authority in your life and showing up as a leader, whatever that means for you, whether it's like actually as a leader, leading a company, leading a group, leading a family, or just leading your own life. There's so many different ways that that can take shape. Mm-hmm. So this particular eclipse in Leo, it's the sun and the moon, and they're also lining up with an asteroid that's known as Pallas Athena. And that's like the goddess Athena. And she was the goddess of truth and wisdom. So
she was pretty badass, I think.
She definitely was. And where Pallas Athena falls in your chart, it also often represents where you have a particular genius and wisdom and truth that you can bring into the world. So we're really being anchored into how can we be leaders? Like, what truth can we lead with in our lives? And also as part of a community, because you can't lead unless you're leading other people.
Okay. Wow. So what would be your advice for the people who don't necessarily lead a specific group or are not sure of what they should bring up or give back to the community, how should they tap into themselves to figure that out? Is it something that they were always afraid of? So it's a good time now to actually conquer that fear and bring it to the table? Or like, how can I possibly identify a specific area in my life that I should be leading moving forward?
Yeah, I would say that tonight is a really powerful time, and even through the early morning hours, but actually the moon is going to go void right at 6 a.m., which mm-hmm. means that it's not in any sign. So we'll still be feeling the eclipse energy. It's not that you can't do a ritual tomorrow or something, but tonight's definitely a more powerful time to do it if okay. you can do it. And it doesn't have to be something big and fancy. If you're tired, we're getting into the evening, it's totally okay. But if you just take time to kind of sit, meditate, and ask for clarity about how you're meant to lead. Even a great way to do it is right before you're falling asleep at night, because we receive a lot of messages through our dreams. So you can just ask, like, please let me know, like, how I can be a leader. And you might receive a message in your dream that you'll remember the next morning. Or even if you don't remember it, it might stick with you in some subconscious way. Mm-hmm. Another big piece of this eclipse, so there's all the action that's happening in Leo, but then opposite Leo is Aquarius, which is where the full moon eclipse was at the end of July. And
that's when we had our first show.
That was actually with the Cancer. So that was the first eclipse of the season. So yeah, I know there were three eclipses. It's hard to keep track of all of it. So what's happening in Aquarius though tonight and going into tomorrow morning is that Mars, which is a planet that really embodies masculine energy and everything that masculine energy brings with it, is going to be in the exact same place in the sky as the asteroid Lilith. And Lilith represents the wild feminine energy. So it's really this blending of masculine and femininity and just bringing this unity and this wholeness to everything, which I think is really beautiful when you think about like how to be a leader and having truth and the truth of wholeness. The fact that we are all individually whole, we are complete, we have something to give, and there's truth to that.
So it's a good time to tap into that, tap into the authenticity and the real truth, and maybe get a bit vulnerable and to, you know, get rid of the layers of the social norms and social expectation. It's a good time. So guys, if you had any crazy plans for tonight, I know it's Friday night in New York City, there are so many events happening. Maybe you want to cancel them and just spend some time with yourself, you know, burn some incense, or just, doesn't even have to be an incense. Just burn a candle and, you know, just close your eyes, breathe in, breathe out, you know, tap into yourself and see what comes up, right? I actually forgot to introduce you. I mean, you're kind of famous already here because it's, you're on the Water is Love show for the second time, which also has never happened before.
I'm honored. Thank you. Well,
thank you, the planets and the cosmos and the universe. But Virginia is not just an astrologist, although, you know, your knowledge of astrology is pretty amazing and fundamental. Virginia also does a lot of development of the personal intuition and psychic, and she helps people to really tap into their creative channels and open up those channels and let the magic flow through them, which we'll talk a bit later in the second half of the show. Virginia works a lot with different people, so she has a lot of knowledge on how to help every individual to really tap into that truth that we all are seeking so badly, whether it's consciously, whether it's unconsciously or subconsciously, but we all really feel this yearning and craving to get to the bottom of who we are, what is our thing in this lifetime, what do we bring to the table, how can we contribute. So Virginia really is the person to go to for all these questions. You can also book a session with Virginia later after the show. She's wonderful, and she will help you to navigate through these crazy times as well. Well, awesome. So tomorrow is the eclipse, and do you think August, because July has been pretty crazy too in terms of the energies and just the ups and downs of the mood, do you think the based on the planetary order, right, do you think that the second half of August will be a bit lighter, or we should still kind of keep it tight? And
your face is like, please, please tell me it's going to be later.
I'm praying for that.
I think, the reality is that we have two eclipse seasons every year. These are generally the most intense periods of the year. So it happens January, February, and then also this July, early August period. And we've just been going through it. And we've also been dealing with, on top of that, a Mercury retrograde and a Mars retrograde and a lot of stuff. So that's going to be behind us by the end of the month. Mercury's going direct early on the 19th, like first thing in the morning. And then Mars is going direct on the 27th. We're having the last eclipse tomorrow morning. So all that's just going to be behind us. And then we're going to have a beautiful Pisces full moon, and we're going to be in Virgo, which is nice and grounding. And
oh gosh, can't wait. But you know, it's funny because I don't remember being so vulnerable to these changes on the cosmic level last year, for instance. So I feel that now, as I have more knowledge about it and I'm more in tune with myself, I'm more affected by the outside changes, which shouldn't be the case. I would think, oh no, I'm so in tune with myself, then I shouldn't be really responsive to the things that are happening externally. But it's not the case. It's kind of vice versa. I'm very subject to the changes that are happening in the cosmic level. Is that a common thing for people who do the self-work, who do the, you know, who are curious? Basically, the more you know about these astrological things, the more impact you see in your life, or how does it work?
I think astrology is a system that's looking at how planetary bodies and gravitational fields and electromagnetic fields and everything are affecting us. And that's all happening, whether you are paying attention to astrology or not. It's just like what's going on in the world. When you start paying attention to astrology and you know, like, oh, an eclipse is coming up or something like that, then for sure you have a certain level of awareness around certain days. As a result, you might actually take more time to tune in and feel, how is this affecting me? And as a result, you're noticing it more. But the reality is that that's happening whether you're tuning in or not. And I think a lot of the times in general, especially in our society, we aren't paying attention to our bodies. We aren't paying attention to the things we're feeling. We're just going about our days. And so we're not paying attention to the moon. We're not paying attention. We're just like, we have our to-do list and we have to do the things on our to-do list and we're going to push through. And those minor little things and maybe even major things that are happening, we just push through. And if you don't know a moon's happening, you don't think that that's maybe a cause.
Right. So guys, next time you're feeling a bit off or you feel a crazy mood swings, you know, maybe check the astrological calendar and you'll find your answers there. And again, it's really important for you, and especially during this time, to just spend some time with yourself, you know, with your body, with your sensations, with your feelings, emotions. Don't push them away. Don't shovel them into the corner of your mind. Deal with them. And you might learn something really new, and you might even come up with the answers to the questions that you've been dealing all your life with and you couldn't find the answer before. So it's a great time for the reflections, I would say.
Yeah, I think that's so true. And it's interesting that you raised that question, because I was coming here in the subway and I was starting to feel like I felt all this crazy kind of exhaustion and tingling through my legs. I was starting to feel anxious. There's just like all this stuff coming up. And I'm like, oh no, I'm going to this thing and this moon is happening and I'm feeling all this stuff. And then I'm like, am I feeling it because I know it's happening? Yeah. Or like chicken or egg, you know, what's causing it? And for me, the answer I always come back to is I look at my life and I look at all the years I wasn't paying attention and I wasn't aware. And I was someone who was really sick. I got really sick. I was diagnosed with epilepsy and two autoimmune diseases and all these things. It's like my whole body was freaking out at me. And all I know is that when I started actually paying attention to things like the cycles of nature and the moon and all the stuff going on and how my body was responding, and I started giving it what it needed in those moments, all of my symptoms and my illnesses disappeared.
This is so crazy that you just shared that. I'm currently going through a situation with my health. My guts are just driving me crazy in a literal sense. My stomach bloats all the time, regardless of what I eat or what I do. And I try to keep a pretty healthy diet, but you know, sometimes I might not even eat anything and it will bloat. And then I start reading a lot about IBS and about, you know, how emotions affect your gut, how your mind affects your gut and vice versa. So I'm still in the process. So it's pretty crazy, but it's real. Actually, could you tell a bit more about the whole journey of your, how you got so attuned with yourself? So you were sick, right? Was that the first kind of signal for you that, okay, I want to understand better my body. I want to understand better my psyche. How was your journey?
You would think maybe that would have been the first signal. No, it's that I just got really sick. And I went to the doctors. I went to all the doctors for years and years, and I had all the blood tests done, and I did my elimination diets, and I went on all the medicine, and I just felt worse and worse. I wasn't feeling better. And this was really for me, like towards the end of college when things were just getting really severe for me, like my junior and senior year. And once I graduated, I was back home for the summer, in my childhood home that my parents actually just put on the market today. So new moon, new beginnings. But I was there and I'm looking at the counter and I see like 7 pill bottles lined up, and I'm like 22 at the time. And I'm just like, how is this my life? How am I 22 years old and I have 7 pill bottles? This is not okay. And I started reading about like the side effects of the medications and all these different things. And I was like, I don't even know what might happen with my body anymore. Even things as simple as birth control, which I was put on at 14 years old for my skin. Like, I was like, I don't even know what my natural hormones are. And I made the choice to go off every single medication and to just clear out my body and figure out what my baseline was and go from there. And what I experienced is that just going off of everything alone had a huge effect in terms of just increasing my quality of life and making my symptoms feel a lot more manageable. And over time, so I was just feeling a little bit better, living my life. And I actually just ended up getting into yoga for exercise. Mm-hmm. I grew up dancing and my body was so burned out from dancing, but yoga felt familiar and comfortable. And so I started doing that. And then all these things started happening and I started having a lot of big intuitive breakthroughs. And then I got into sitting meditation and I was having these big downloads and visions and receiving information while I was meditating. And I just started, meditation especially was the thing that helped me just kind of start looking at my mind and everything that was happening. And after about 2 years of very serious meditation and really diving into all this stuff and doing a lot of Buddhist studies, I had this big epiphany where I was just like, I'm sick because of my life, like because of trying to fit my life into this little box society tells me I have to fit my life into, of like living a 9-to-5 and waking up with my alarm and doing all these things. And I was like, this is literally killing me and I can't live this way anymore.
My heart is literally going crazy right now. This is so profound.
Thank you. Well, and I love the story you shared too. And thank you for sharing about your gut. I'm writing a memoir right now about like so much of my story. And this morning I was actually writing a piece. I didn't even think this was going to be a part of the book, but you know, things just start coming out. And I start talking about my experience being sick. And I was literally writing this morning about all of my symptoms and going back to that and remembering like how I had been so bloated and writing about how I was like, at the time I was in college, I was like 116 pounds and I looked 7 months pregnant. Was crazy. And I had horrible...
And the doctors don't help. That's the thing. It's not like you don't do anything. No, you do actually a lot to understand what's happening, but none of those conventional methods work, at least in my case, and it seems like in your case as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things with the Western medicine is that all of my symptoms for them were chronic. It wasn't something that had a cure. So something like with my stomach stuff, a lot of it was connected to acid reflux. So I would take the acid reflux medicine, which did like help and get it under control for a little bit, but it didn't solve the problem long term. And even I'd have to do dietary changes and stuff. Like they're certainly recommended some things could help a little bit, but it was all band-aids. None of it was a cure. And I was told there was no cure and that I was just gonna have to live this way for the rest of my life, which was another like, no, I don't want to do that. And that's kind of how I felt too then about like working 9-to-5 and doing these things that just felt so out of sync with my body, and not even just my body, but like my heart and like what I wanted to be doing and my curiosities and all of that.
So you know what you did? You actually decided to take control of your own life.
Oh yeah.
which is a huge decision. We all think we are cultural. I feel like especially people in the West world are control freaks, including myself. We all control. That's what I'm saying. We all control freaks. But if you look at it, we don't really control our lives.
That is, yes, that's exactly. And it's interesting because
we try to control our lives within this tiny, tiny little box called, I don't know, social expectations or social patterns or whatever that is.
And whatever the illusion of security is in that moment and whatever we've been taught we're supposed to have that makes us feel secure and stable. And the truth of life is that nothing's totally secure and stable. Like everything is always changing and our expectations are constantly thwarted. And the only real control we get is through complete surrender. And that was...
Surrender to what?
Surrender to what? Our lives. Ultimately, our lives. I think, you know, people have many beliefs in terms of whether it's the universe or God or whatever. But for me, I'm like, it's just your... I have my own beliefs and I'm a very spiritual person and I tend to kind of almost believe in like all the things, but I got there because that's just part of my life and my truth and my experience. So I feel like it's surrendering to your raw experience without putting layers of stories on top of your experience of saying, oh, well, this is happening because of this, or this is happening because of this. And I'm just going to, this is who I am and this is how I'm living my life. And these are all the things I need. And when you just strip all of that away and you look at who am I in this moment in time? How does my body feel? What are the thoughts racing through my mind? And you just start really observing and tuning in. Then you start just getting your own truth and then you can shape your life from there and follow those curiosities and those, all the breadcrumbs.
So when you start meditating to get to the level of self-awareness and just knowing your body and your mind, what kind of meditation did you use?
I used sitting meditation and I worked really with Shambhala at the time. I was with Shambhala for a year. I never did the levels and other things and they've had plenty of controversies recently. But I worked just with this one group that was this 20 somethings in New York meeting once a week to meditate. And it's basically you sit, you're on the floor, cross-legged, spine straight, crown reaching towards the ceiling. You meditate with your eyes open.
Wow.
So hands on your knees and your eyes are open and you're just kind of subtly gazing at a spot on the floor about 2 to 3 feet out in front of you. And you're just focusing on your breath.
Okay. And if the thoughts come in, you just observe them, but you try not to engage.
Exactly. There's this notion that with meditation, it's about clearing all of your thoughts and having an empty mind. And that's the goal. But that's not really how we work. And that's not the point of meditation. Yeah. The point of meditation is to just be and to be still and to observe and to witness your thoughts and witness how your mind works and to not fall into the thoughts. Because that's what so much of us do when we're on that, just getting up, not paying attention, doing our to-do list. We're just like in our thoughts all day, all the time. And we're not observing all the space around your thoughts. And it's in all of that space of just the unknown where incredible magical things happen.
Mm-hmm. So in this process, when did astrology come into play?
So I will say astrology was kind of reintroduced to me. I never lost it completely. I was into it as a kid. I was just into it. I thought it was fun. And I had all the astrology books and I would go on Cafe Astrology and like get my little birth chart with the algorithm. And I would always do the compatibility checks and I'd be dating people. And I just thought it was fun, but I didn't really take it that seriously. And then when I was really deep into meditation, I went on a meditation retreat in Vermont and I met a guy on the retreat. As often happens, actually, meditation retreats, people,
really?
Romantic connections are stirred.
When I go on my retreats, 90% of people I meet there are women. So I haven't had romantic luck yet on my retreats. So I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I mean, it was luck insofar as this person was a wonderful connection at the time and they brought some really nice things into my life. I think there's something called kind of the retreat goggles where you're in the state of like meditating all day and kind of blissed out and you're probably not like being totally yourself. But so I don't know how many relationships you can really sustain from that meeting. Yeah. So he was super into astrology and tarot. And he's actually the person who sent me my first deck of tarot cards. And he also really got me back into astrology, specifically into the richness of astrology. Because before I was, for the most part, really only aware of like my sun sign, like, oh, the sun was in horoscope, in Scorpio, and I'm a Scorpio, and not noticing the rest of my chart. And he really got me into like real astrology.
Awesome. By the way, Virginia did my birth chart during the last show. She brought the whole chart into the studio and helped me to navigate in it. And she identified that I should be a healer in this lifetime. So now I'm trying to understand what kind of healer I am, or what I need to do to, you know, bring that energy up and to share it with the world. So a birth chart is no joke, you guys. If you haven't done your birth charts yet, contact Virginia. She will do it for you.
I will do that. And I will also say to you that I wouldn't put it past yourself that you're already doing it and you're already doing things in your life to bring healing, even this podcast and bringing on people and having these conversations. That's a way of bringing your healing into the world at this stage in your life. And what we bring and the messages we deliver and the shapes they take can just keep changing throughout our lives. And that's okay.
How did, speaking of birth charts, how did knowing your birth chart help you, you know, make decisions in your life or navigate your life after, you know, start getting really seriously into astrology?
I don't know if I would say that my birth chart helped me kind of be like, oh, this is what I'm doing. Like for me, I don't look at it as something where I'm just going to let it dictate my life. I use it actually for myself personally more as, oh, I feel kind of crazy today. I don't know why. Let me go check. And then I see something like, oh, that's why. And oh, I should probably like spend some time thinking and reflecting on that aspect or like what's going on with Mars for myself. And that helps me work through whatever I'm feeling in my body. And then for me, it also, I found it very validating just to look at my chart. Most of the stuff that was in it, I already felt like it was like, oh, publishing and writing is going to be really big for me. I have like 5 planets in Scorpio, so I'm super psychic. I was like, oh, yeah. And then I also have my moon, which rules your emotions, is in the exact same place as this asteroid that's known as Chiron. And Chiron in mythology was the wounded healer. So it's where like wounding happens and also healing. So the fact that my moon is in the same space, it's the first person who ever read my chart was like, oh, you're a healer because I have that in my chart. And so that was definitely, I think it gave me the confidence that I could pursue this work.
How often do you look at your birth chart?
Oh my gosh. So much. I look at my birth chart so much.
So it's not really a static picture of who you are, right? It's changing very depending on what's happening in the world. How do you read it or how do you use it depending on different situations that are happening, say, on the universal level?
Yeah, so the chart itself doesn't change. Like, it's a pictorial representation of where the planets were when you were born. And so they were where they were. That's not changing. But what's changing is how your chart connects with where the planets are today and tomorrow and the next day and so those transiting planets. Your chart's a map. It kind of tells you what energetic environment you're moving through at any given time and how that can be affecting you and what could be coming up. It's one of the big reasons I recently got engaged and I knew.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I knew when it was going to happen. I mean, not for complete certainty until it actually happened. I was like, I think this is going to happen on this day. And part of it was because of visions and things I'd received and readings. But the other part was because I was looking at my astrology chart and there were just crazy aspects that were like, it was like, this looks like marriage. And then it did happen that day. So.
Oh, that's crazy. So have you ever done the kind of birth chart reading from those ladies on the street, you know, kind of like tarot cards reading or birth chart reading in the West Village?
I've never had an astrology reading on the street. I have done a tarot reading one time on the street. It left me feeling terrible and super anxious and uncomfortable. I can't speak for everybody doing readings on the street, of course, but my one experience that I had with this was with somebody who was clearly deeply intuitive, but also manipulative, using the information in a way that felt very manipulative and didn't feel empowering at all. It left me feeling like I'm broken. Yeah. The only way I can heal it is by like buying a bunch of these crystals that she wants to sell me. So, yeah.
All right, you guys. So if you want to get your, again, birth chart read, don't do it on the street of New York. Come talk to Virginia and she will not I promise she will not trick you into buying any crystals. I don't even think you're selling crystals, but...
I don't sell crystals. I tend to just give them as gifts.
That's weird. So, all right. So you got deepen your practice in astrology. And when was the point in your life when you decided, okay, I want to actually do it professionally. I want to share this knowledge with others. I want to help others. What was the, was it a gradual process for you, or one day again you woke up and just, I think I can take it to another level and, you know, be a real professional healer and astrologist? What was the process of that transformation from hobby into your career?
Yeah, so I would say both of what you described happened for me. Mm-hmm. So I left my last full-time employment in August of 2016, and I immediately went into a yoga teacher training, and I also started doing a Reiki healer mentorship. And I was really, I told myself, you have the fall basically through the end of the year to just kind of chill and figure out your next move. And during that time, I actually just had people start coming to me for readings because they found out this was a thing I did. I'd been doing it for years as a hobby, and I was in between work. So I was like, oh, I can start charging for this. This is like a thing I can do right now. And I knew I wanted to start whatever my next step was. I knew I wanted it to be my own thing. I didn't know what shape that was going to take, though I did just, in hindsight, looking back, like before I left my job, I was in Nashville thinking I was going to go there to do music stuff. And the whole time I just kept thinking about opening up a healing center there, and was just feeling so drawn to this work. And then all these people started coming to me, and I was really resistant to it at first. Like I was, a part of me judged it. Like I'm someone where it's like, oh, I went to this specific college and I have this degree right. And my father's a lawyer and like, you know, all these things. Absolutely. And I'm like, I'm not, can I be like a tarot reader? You know, there's a lot of judgment in my mind about doing this work. And so I was doing it because I was going to make money and I was enjoying it, but I also was judging it and kind of judging myself. So it wasn't until like February of 2017 where I was like, okay, I'm at a point where I either am doing this and I have to choose that like this is really what I'm doing and invest in it and grow a real business, or I have to do something different. Like it was just at that crossroads, and I ultimately made the choice like, okay, I'm gonna do this. So it's that taking control. Yeah, like making an active decision.
It's a pattern in your life, you know. You just at some point you have to make an active decision. That's it. I'm doing it.
Yes.
Rather than just waiting for all the signs and the external factors, which we always look for. But at some point, you have to make this decision. Okay, I got it. That's it. I got to pick. I got to start investing my energy in it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Make it successful. Whatever success means. Again, the whole concept of success is, for me, has a lot of negative connotations just because I think we are also drawn to this idea of being successful in the terms of what society expects from us. But I feel that still, when you have your own guide of what success means to you, then you can kind of map up the plan of the action.
For sure. We all have our own definitions of success. For me, success meant being able to have the schedule that I want, basically being able to do what I wanted to do whenever I wanted to do it. I have a lot of emphasis of Aquarian energy in my chart. But I wanted to sleep in the mornings because I hated getting up right away and getting up with an alarm. And I wanted to write in the mornings, and I wanted to be able to go work out at 10 a.m. And I wanted to be able to take a nap in the afternoon like they do in Spain. And I wanted to be able to do all
you
these things.
To have the freedom.
I wanted freedom. And then I also wanted a financially comfortable situation. I didn't want to be stressed about money. I didn't want to be, you know, I wanted to just like live a comfortable life where I could do the things I wanted to do and feel that freedom. And
but that's so funny because most of the spiritual healers, or, you know, divine vessels, as I call them, that who came to my show, They usually say, well, if you want to, you know, be successful and have money, spiritual business is not really a way to go. It's like really hard to make money there. And now you're here saying, I actually wanted to have financial security. So I decided to be a professional, you know, healer and a birth chart reader and an intuitive developer. So that's, I'm just so glad that it, you know, it's working out for you.
Yeah. I mean, I would say I didn't choose it specifically because I was like, oh, this is the best way for me to make money. But at the same time, I felt called to do this. Like people were coming to me. It was happening organically. It was how I'd been spending all of my energy outside of work for years, was exploring all of these ideas and learning about this stuff. I felt like I'd spent, you know, all these years of study and I had become an expert. It was something I had to give. It was something I loved and I enjoyed. And if I'm going to do it, I'm also going to do it to feed me. I think that there can be a resistance in spiritual work to money and thinking that money's bad. Because there certainly are plenty of ways where there's exploitation in the world and capitalistic structures that are incredibly damaging. But money inherently is energy. It's an exchange. Yep. Yep. And frankly, when I'm like channeling for people and doing certain things, it's like, it is like my work is exhausting. I generally work just Monday through Thursday, like pretty much from 1 p.m. to up either like I would say 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. a night. And I'm exhausted. But I'm just exhausted from the small number of clients that I see because it's a very energetically demanding job. And so the idea that you would be giving such a big thing and not receiving enough to support yourself is I think it's just a whole mentality around money and abundance that a lot of people are like struggling with it. And I think it's really important to know, like, it's important that you ask for what you deserve. Absolutely. And what you want. And if you're not making enough to pay your bills doing what you're doing, you have to reevaluate your system and restructure it. It ultimately still is a business. You have to think about that stuff.
Actually, my good friend of mine, she's an amazing, amazing yogi, and she's fantastic. And we had this discussion with her the other day, and she says, Sasha, you know, early on, I was so shy to ask for money, to ask for the rate. I felt like, oh, how can I be a spiritual person if I'm charging? But now she's so good. You know, big corporate clients hire her. Like, she's amazing. And she's one of the most spiritual people I know, but her rates are pretty high because she knows her value. And I think once you have this in kind of perfect combination, you know your value, you know your worth, you know how much work you put in, and you know your price, then if it's a perfect combination, then it, you know, kind of abundance is created even more and more and more, and it just happens organically for you.
I 100% agree. Like, when you are really aligned with what you're doing and what you're offering and you're asking for a price that's also aligned, like, it does just start to flow and have this ease that's incredibly it's peaceful because you're not stressed all the time. But it's also one of those things too, where when I first kind of restructured my business and started asking for a lot more money because I was basically offering people this full mentorship where they were working with me on an ongoing basis versus a one-off session. So it's a totally different service that I was offering. It was so scary at first to ask for the prices. But what I learned is people said yes. And the people who said yes received tremendous value. And it's like, of course I'm asking for this because this is what I'm giving. And a lot of people too, it's like they would even like end up basically, I had this really cool experience with a client recently where we did an abundance spell together towards the end of our work. And he ended up coming into unexpectedly this huge sum of money that was much more than what he had paid me as a result of like all the stuff we had done together. And stuff like that happens. And I've had my own experiences like that when I've worked with coaches and I've given them money, then like it comes back to me right away. And whether it's giving it to coaches or giving it to wherever your curiosity leads you. Like the first time when I was really like, I can't do this 9-to-5 work. This is not for me. And so I left my job and I had no savings. Mm-hmm. I was like, how am I going to do this? And everything magically fell into place where I ended up having free housing everywhere I wanted to travel. I basically just had to pay for a plane ticket. I had like a huge sum of money come into me after the whole trip, like out of nowhere, that paid for everything and then some.
Why do you think this happened? Because you knew that you were doing the right thing?
Yeah, I think when you follow, I say often, I'm like following the breadcrumbs. And so it's this interesting balance that is somewhat of a paradox, as I think most things in life are, where you're both surrendering to something, to the messages you receive, to your life, to synchronicity, to the signs. Like the signs kept telling me, you can't do this work. It's making you sick. And you need to go to Texas and you need to go to Colorado and you need to write. And it was just so loud. I was like, I have to somehow make this happen for myself. So it's both receiving the message, seeing what's happening, and then also then making the choice to follow it. So it's both a surrender and then active choosing and beautiful, having that balance.
So let's talk a bit more about how you help your clients to get an attunement, your psychic development, your intuition development. So how does the workshop look like?
Yeah, so it's actually not a workshop. It is a 9-week mentorship that I do with people, and it's all totally private. I only work with people one-on-one, mm-hmm. and it's customized for every person because no one's exactly the same and everyone has their own issues and things that come up during it. And when I work with people, we go really deep. I do a lot of shadow work. So it's a lot of uncovering layers mm-hmm. and helping them come to terms with things that they're not really feeling. But it's ultimately in service of getting them fully like in their bodies where they're feeling everything and really getting to that place of embracing the raw experience where they're noticing all the little messages coming through their bodies and all the messages and little voices and things. I say voices and that sounds like it's like a crazy person, but I mean, no, but I mean, they're like little, they don't sound like voices. It feels like, so this is, there are lots of different ways that intuition comes through. So it comes through our bodies with like a lot of messages, gut feelings, tingling, lots of different things. We can have visions, in our mind, we can have visions we see here, just like right in front of you, plain as day. You have visions when you sleep.
This sounds crazy to me. I love all this stuff. So let's talk a bit more specific.
Okay.
So let's say I want to become your client, right? So I want to get in alignment with my soul. I want to have a better intuition. I come to you. How do you start? How do you do? We have an initial dialogue. I'm sharing the things I'm working on, the things I have issues with, the things I need help with. And then what happens then? You do my birth chart, probably.
That's the second step. I do look at the birth chart. The first thing I do with anybody is I do a full reading for them where I use the cards. I also give them an energy healing session, and I'm channeling the whole time about who they are and what their life's purpose is and also what their magic is. The reality is that anybody can practice honing their intuition. The people that I work with, though, are people who are naturally inclined towards being super psychic. Like, I want to work with the people who, like, they probably have already had experiences of stuff, and I'm really helping them. The people who have experiences, like, you have a dream that comes true, or you've had just little knowings where, like, oh, I knew that was going to happen, and then it happened, and you're like, what's going on? What's it? The experience, when you're kind of in that stage of the work, it feels like it's just kind of happening to you, like messages are coming through, and you can't control it at all. And so most of the people I'm working with are already in that place that are like, yeah, I've had these like really intuitive experiences, but it doesn't feel like anything I can control or work with. And so really what I do is I bring those people in, we do the healing, we're kind of looking at their life path, and then I teach them all the tools for how you control it. So I teach them how to work with energy. Primarily, my background is primarily Reiki-based. So I do a lot of Reiki attunements and certifying people in Reiki and then teaching them about tarot and divination because it's really powerful for harnessing your intuition. And then I teach them just how to do straight psychic channeling and do spell work and work magic and all that fun stuff.
Speaking of magic, my laptop just completely died.
Oh, no.
By the way, yes, I can show it to you. It has black screen, which also never happened to my laptop. I'm honestly not even surprised anymore. I mean, seriously, we're about to, you know, we're talking about magic here, intuition, and the final eclipse of the season. And, oh, back, life again. Fucking crazy.
Does that mean we're not being recorded anymore?
No, we are. No,
okay. Wow. So is it happening again?
Well, you'd have to come back then for the third time
when it'll fully be the charm.
And I'll probably have to call the Radio for Brooklyn's manager to be present, you know, here and make sure that, you know, I'm not going crazy. Okay, awesome. So that's what you do in the first couple of sessions, right? So what is the result of the such healing sessions that you witness in your clients?
So obviously there are certain things that change for everybody because based on where people are in their lives. But the big things that have consistently happened for everyone I've worked with is that they develop this immense feeling of trust in their lives and in the choices they make and everything they're doing. There's also just this huge sense of courage in terms of being able to go after what you want. A lot of the people I work with start their own businesses, leave their jobs, do all of that stuff. So after I kind of do all the training with people, I stay with them for another month and I do work with integrating. Because it's one thing to just like learn about a bunch of things that are fun. It's another thing to really integrate the lessons from working with those, understanding, making the choices, meaning like now that you have this wisdom, what are you going to do with your life? And I really help people navigate that stage with through a combination of life coaching, business coaching. And I think one of the things that I think is really nice about the fact that I can do this is because I am psychic, I'm intuitive. So I'm able to get things moving really quickly for people because I don't need them to tell me everything. Like I can just feel in my body.
So tell me more about that. So when you work with a client, right? And say you're doing a Reiki session or you're having a conversation, do you also get the messages, just kind of the flashlights in your mind, or how do you feel that this is the right message for this specific person?
Yeah, so it just comes through. And if I'm just in conversation with somebody, I'm generally not getting like visual sort of messages. But the biggest messages I get are often through my body. So I'm an empath and basically everyone I work with is an empath. And what that means is that like if you're feeling anxious or heartbroken or your stomach aches or whatever it is, I will physically feel that in my body. I won't feel it right now because I have my nice boundaries up where I'm like, you're over there and I'm over here. but I will feel it in my body. And when I'm working with people, I drop those boundaries so I can just feel what's happening and receive the messages. And then I also will just receive messages and little things that come through.
That's freaking crazy.
I was actually just recently learned about neurologically what happens for empaths. So there's this surgeon who's this hyper empath that he's been studied by all the neuroscientists because he's so empathic where it's like he's going to be in surgery with people and like giving them injections and amputating arms and stuff. And he will literally feel like his own arm is being amputated off and it's really extreme for him. And what they've discovered is there's actually less brain matter in a certain region of the brain and that our brains have basically this information is constantly flowing all the time between everybody. But most people, what they have are veto signals in their brains. So if you're feeling heartbroken, that message, that information is being sent over to me and my brain's going, oh, wait, that's not mine, veto. So I might not receive that message. But people who are empaths or just have, and then even people have more empathy, the veto signal, like if you just are someone who's empathic but not an empath, you won't veto it completely. You'll receive the message partially in terms of, oh, she's feeling sad, but you're not going to feel sad yourself. If you are an empath, your veto signals, there's such a blurring between the self and others that it basically just comes directly in as if it's your own feeling.
How do you know that you're an empath?
Is it a test,
a quiz on Google that I can do to understand that I'm an empath or not?
There probably is. I don't know if you should take it. I mean, I think in general, a lot of times even just hearing about the experiences, if you're someone who has this all of a sudden, you're like, oh my gosh, that's what I'm experiencing. People who are really sensitive, so you can feel exhausted in crowds. Like you tend to kind of just feel what other people are feeling. If you walk into a room and it's like if there's weird energy, all of a sudden it completely shifts your energy. People who are empaths tend to have really poor boundary issues. They literally have something different going on in their brain where it's like they have different boundaries. And so a lot of the work that I do with people is teaching about boundaries because we're not naturally built to have them in the same way. Mm-hmm. So you have poor boundaries, which means that you're often giving a lot more to other people than you are to yourself. You often are going through abusive relationships and other things in your life because you don't have proper boundaries.
I'm just kind of scanning all my relationship and how I feel when I enter the room.
You also probably are somebody who feels really connected to maybe plants and animals, music, art, generally tend to be very creative people. There's actually a whole, I can't remember the whole list that I came up with a while back, but if you go to my website, there's a whole list like, you might be highly intuitive if you can go there and check it out.
Yeah, by the way, you guys, if you want to find out right now whether or not you're an empath, you can go to FlittingConnections.com and It's actually a pretty cool site. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, great job. And there's a ton of information. Virginia also writes blog posts, and there's a lot of information about the work that she does here in New York. Go to fleetingconnections.com and browse around, and please book a session with Virginia. I mean, she's freaking amazing. Can't you tell? By the way, this is Radio Free Brooklyn. It's a What is Love live show. It's a special edition devoted to astrology, eclipses, intuitive reading, psychic development, all the good stuff. Please, again, guys, don't really go crazy tonight. Better stay home, you know, meditate a bit, get attuned with yourself. You can pray, you know, why not? Prayer helps as well. And, you know, really try to get to the bottom of who you are and how you can share that and bring that into the world, and how you can become a leader in a certain area of your life. That's kind of the message of today's show. And I just forgot the question that I wanted to ask you. It was not about the eclipse. I think you've got it covered.
Really, is it about being an empath?
Being an empath, yeah. It's a hard work.
Oh, another a fun test actually that everybody could do to see if they're an empath. So this is actually, it's a little bit of a different thing that's happening. It's called interoception, which is the ability to feel the things that are happening inside your own body more carefully. But if you close your eyes and just tune into your heart, and if you can count your heartbeat just directly in your body. She's saying she can.
I'm trying to do it. my heart is still kind of going crazy.
Yeah. So one thing, I was reading about this and I did this, like, oh yeah, I can totally just do that. Mm-hmm. And so I asked my fiance and he's like, no, I can't do that. And I'm like, oh, so like some people can do it, some people can't do it.
You can do it.
Oh, I can do it like super easy. I could just count my entire heartbeat with, if I just close my eyes, I just like can feel my heart beating. So that's the thing too. If like, and the reality is like that information is always floating around. Those of us who are highly intuitive and are on the psychic spectrum, more psychic, it's because we're just more tuned into information that's floating around us all the time. That's just there.
Can't believe how much energy I have, you know, still receiving all this energy from others and all these messages for others and for yourself. And, you know, just coming here on a Friday night, bright and shiny, before the final freaking solar eclipse. This is pretty amazing. You mentioned, and we are almost out of time, you mentioned that you're a very spiritual person and you believe in all of it. What is God to you?
God to me is just whatever this is. Like, there's no specific. I definitely have experiences with plenty of beings, like angels and goddesses and things that feel like that. But God to me is something bigger, which is, it's not necessarily a source of creation or anything even that limited. It's very unknowable, but I can feel it. And it's just like whatever this is that's like moving through everything.
Do you feel God right now?
Sure. Yeah. I'm alive.
So God is alive?
It's whatever the ultimate truth is. It's like, it's the nature of reality.
God is the nature of reality. That's beautiful. You have 20 seconds for your last message to the Radio for Brooklyn audience. Do you have anything to add?
I will say that whether you are someone who uses the word God or not, and I know that, you know, that can be controversial. Yeah. There's so much going on in this world. There's so many ways to tap into these ideas. You can look at neuroscience, you can look at quantum mechanics, or you can go look at Reiki. It's all connected. And you just find your way and learn more. And if you have questions, feel free to reach out to me.
Thanks, Virginia, so much. So Radio Free Brooklyn, you guys stay with us. There's another show coming up at 8 p.m. It's going to be a music show. Again, keep it tight through the final eclipse season, and follow up with myself on social media if you want to find Virginia. And since we are entering soon the Venus retrograde, I'm going to finish the show with this song.